All right. Well, after going through the tape last night and this morning, I think pretty much the same place. That's what we talked about yesterday. Good, solid contribution from all three phases of the team. I had a lot of guys really, you know, compete and play hard. Still a lot of things there's so many things that we can do better, but I thought we showed improvement from last week. And, you know, the way the game played out, it was kind of the reverse of what it was last week, where, you know, we were rushing the passer and they were throwing every down in Minnesota, and we were throwing every down, and Miami was rushing the passer in the fourth quarter last week. So if you take out those situations and just, you know, go back to the more competitive parts of the game, before it was really situationally different, and I think that's where we really need to focus most of our attention and try to improve. So, but I thought, you know, we had a good day in the kicking game. But our specialists played well, and that obviously really helped us.
Heard you say yesterday that it was important for you guys as an offense to become a little bit more balanced. And I'm just wondering how you thought your offensive line played in terms of allowing you guys to be a little bit more balanced, especially in the running game yesterday.
Well, yeah, some good things and you know, again, a lot of things we can improve on, but we ran the ball more competitively, 4 yards a carry, and, you know, we were able to stick with it, got stopped on a couple short yardages. That was obviously not good. You know, we thought that we left some yards out on the field in the running game where we could have gained more than we did for one reason or another, combination of things. But it was, you know, certainly an improvement against a good defensive team, and we just need to continue to work harder on our techniques and our overall fundamentals and reads, and just, you know, get better at it. But I thought we at least headed in the right direction.
And Bill, in the running game in particular, I'm wondering. I know you said. Sorry, you said in the past that, you know, certain stats, you know, have some value, others not so much, and they don't paint the whole picture. But I'm wondering how you guys as a team look at yards after contact that a running back can kind of create on his own, and how important a quality that is in a running back in order to have a successful running game.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything, running and passing, anytime a player gets the ball in his hands, the yards that he can make after either contact, or if he's able to avoid the guy and maybe the defender doesn't have contact with him at all, but right, ability to make plays on his own, you know, certain runs and passes, you look at the play and say, okay, this is what the play, you know, gained, 4 yards, 7 yards, 10 yards, whatever it is, and then this is what the player got on his own after that. So what's a running play or a passing play, you know, what's the play blocked for? What is the pass thrown for? And then what can the player get, you know, really on his own? And again, some of that is, like in a passing game, yards after the catch. Well, you know, sometimes that's just until somebody gets to him, you know, it could be a crossing route, but maybe he runs 10 yards before somebody has a chance to tackle him. But I think the real measure of those players is how much they're able to gain after a player actually has an opportunity to bring them down. So that's huge. And some players are very good at that, and other players are, you know, get their yards in other ways. You know, they get them by, in the passing game, you know, running good routes, getting open, creating separation, and maybe they aren't good yards after the catch type players, but some guys can take, you know, short plays and turn it into long plays, and that's very valuable. So we absolutely look at that. We work hard at it, and, you know, all the players that have the ball in their hands are always looking to try to see how they can add more yards to the play.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Hey, Anthony.
I know that this did not affect you guys in terms of winning the game, but was it a little unusual to see all the penalties yesterday and to have so many yards? Did you get a chance to look at some of those again on film? And obviously an area you'd probably like to clean up, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The 15 penalties accepted and There were several other ones that where we had multiple fouls on the same play, and, you know, 160 yards or whatever it was. It's way too much. We can't keep doing that. We had a lot of penalties last week. We had a lot of penalties this week. And it's not just the penalties, it's the yardage. It's too many personal fouls. And we had, you know, two interference penalties on their last drive that, you know, got them almost down there the whole length of the field. It was, I don't know, must have been almost like 60 yards in penalties, it seemed like. So things like that, we just can't afford them. And one's too many, you know. If each player gets one penalty, I mean, you know, we'd set an all-time record. So it can't be, well, I just, you know, had one penalty. We gotta play penalty free, and we gotta do a better job of that. And we gotta coach it better. Not that we haven't spent a lot of time on it, because we have, but that's certainly an area that we need to improve in.
Bill, I was wondering about on Tom's touchdown pass to Julian. You can't see Julian on TV, on the TV film. And I was wondering, from your vantage point, is that something that you saw right away as well? I mean, with Tom seeing the matchup you got with Julian, or is that, and also from Tom's perspective, is that something that was fairly obvious to most quarterbacks, or is that something maybe with his experience he was able to recognize?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that Minnesota and Coach Zimmer do a real good job of disguising their coverages, and there were some that we were able to read, and there were some other ones that we weren't able to read, and so it was a little bit of a back-and-forth game there, but they do a real good job with disguising and you know, trying to make, you know, man, zone, and blitz all kind of look the same, and so it's tough. And they create problems for the offensive line, for the quarterback, for the running backs, and for the receivers, and having to make post-snap adjustments on the plays. So on that particular play, you know, I think it was a real good play by Tom, because the coverage was, you know, well disguised, and Tom was able to, you know, see it, and it was on the road, and communicate it, and, you know, the silent count and all that really is about as tough as it gets, and he recognized the blitz, and on the blitz coverage, the defenders, as they are usually taught, you know, take that inside position so that they don't give up a quick slant or the easiest throw and force the offense to throw the ball, you know, somewhere to the outside of the field on a like on the route that Julian caught, the corner pattern or some type of outside breaking route, which are just tougher throws for the offense to execute. So, you know, Tom was able to get to the best play against that look and made a good throw just as he got hit, you know, because they did have an extra rusher. It was an all-out blitz, so he was able to release the ball just before he got hit, made a great throw, and Julian took advantage of the defender's leverage and kind of froze him at the top of the route and then created that couple of yards of separation for the catch. So, you know, combination of a lot of things, but it was certainly a, you know, very good play by Tom to recognize it and get into the right place. Good route by Julian, good throw, and good job by the whole offensive line in terms of getting the communication and the adjustment and, you know, being able to handle it on the road with the silent count and crowd noise and all that. So it was a good play.
Bill, from the outside, obviously, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower look like two of the more sort of athletically versatile players you guys have on defense. I'm wondering how they're kind of coming into their own in their third season in terms of utilizing that. And is there any kind of maybe a learning curve as coaches to figure out how to best use the skills when you have guys like that that are pretty diverse in terms of their talents?
Well, you know, it's certainly a lot easier as a coach to – you know, to use those type players. And, you know, I think the big thing is for guys like High and Chandler, you know, Rob, Gerard, to, you know, work on all their skills, not just work on, you know, one thing, whether it's, you know, rushing over the tackle, rushing over the guard, pass coverage, jamming receiver, you know, all the different things they got to work at, but to kind of, you know, to really take pride in developing all their skills, and I think that Chandler and Dante have done a great job of that, and they've improved, this year, but over the course of, since they've been here and came in together, they've worked hard at that, at being versatile players and, being able to do different things to help our defense, and it's huge when you have guys like that that can play multiple roles, because we see different things from the same team, but we certainly see different things week to week from the offenses, and to play a spread game, to play a power game, to play a play action passing game or drop back game or spread game or screen game or combinations of all those things to deal with big power backs, to deal with guys who are, fast like McKinnon yesterday. It's so the versatility of those players is huge asset for our defense. And I think a number of the guys that we have on our defense that can do that, like Devin, who's a former corner playing safety, and, Gerard, Dante, and Rob, and, guys like that really help your defensive flexibility and your ability to match up against different looks and personnel groupings on offense.
Bill, it seemed like Cameron Fleming was able to take a nice step forward yesterday and giving you guys some flexibility and being able to bring him in on some running packages and giving some of the other linemen a break. What were some advancements you saw him make, and I take it pretty happy with his performance yesterday?
I think Cam's done a good job for us in that role. Again, he's he's a smart guy, and he picks up things, pretty quickly. Something that he hasn't done a lot of until this year, but, playing that tight end spot is close to playing tackle because you're on the end of the line, but it's a little bit different because you're one guy further removed, and sometimes instead of blocking the defensive end, you can be blocking, quicker, more athletic players, sometimes even secondary players, and there's some different combinations out there, when guys are stacked or they're inside or outside or the secondary drops down late and things like that you have to recognize as a tight end that are maybe a little bit less prevalent at tackle. But, Cam's got good power and his flexibility to play on both sides of the line and, get movement in the running game, but, also we feel can be a good pass protector in that from that location. Just like he is at tackle, but bumped out one guy, and his mental versatility to handle, the tackle position and the tight end position and all the adjustments and nuances that go with it has been really good. So he's, had a good opportunity yesterday, did some of that Miami. We've worked on it in practice, and, he's getting better at it. It's different, but it's, kind of similar to, where we were at Solder in 11, his first year when, Light was playing left tackle and Nate played some right tackle for a few games for Vollmer, but, also played quite a bit at tight end in a similar type of role. So but Cam's done a real good job with it. Been pleased with his development as a player, and he's worked hard at this kind of new assignment, and he's done a good job with it.
Bill, I was just wondering if you could kind of explain to us what you saw happen on the field goal block there from Chandler. It looked like obviously he got some help from the guys on either side of him to help make some space there. He made a nice move on the guy too, but I was just wondering if you could kind of tell us what you saw on that play and how he got there to make that play.
Sure. Yeah, I think, first of all, that is a play that was, well designed by our coaches, Scott O'Brien and Joe Judge. And, we work on those plays every week in practice. And, on this particular one, Chandler was lined up in between Siliga and Ninkovich. And so when Siliga stunted inside, it looked like Khalil, who was trying to block him, because Silver stunted in there, Siliga kind of fell a little bit further inside, then maybe lost his balance a little bit because Siliga was going inside instead of right at him. And so that created a little bit of space. And then Rob, who was on the outside, kind of ran straight up the field and tied up the end. I think that was Wooten, and kept Wooten kind of from stepping down. So when Chandler, you know, used his arm over technique and kind of swung to the outside of Khalil, you know, Rob kept Wooten from stepping down, and Khalil kind of maybe fell down a little bit more than maybe he should have on Silver stunt, and then Chandler, you know, was able to get through there. But then Chandler really made a good play because he, you know, he flattened down the line of scrimmage and was able to, you know, get himself kind of right behind the guard because the ball was on the hash mark, and kind of get right behind the guard and be in, right in the flight of the ball. I think that's one of the hardest things for the rushers on field goals is to, you get through the line, but you've got to know where the ball is going. And when the ball is on the hash mark, you know, it's basically going, you know, kind of over the guard, not over the center. So getting to that right spot, even if you get penetration, getting to that right spot to block it is you know, a big key to the technique of it. So, you know, Chandler did a great job. He's obviously a really athletic guy that, you know, once he cleared theirs, you know, has good length and was able to get up and then made a real good play after that to, you know, scoop and score and turned it into a 10-point play, you know, three off the board and gave us a chance to pick up seven. So that was, obviously a huge play in the game. But it was, you know, I think good execution by everybody. And, you know, Chandler obviously, you know, got the credit, but, you know, Vince and Silver, you know, did a good job, you know, kind of clearing that out for him too. And, you know, it's tough as on a field goal team because when you have guys like Siliga and Wilfork, you know, penetrating and coming over you, you know, two or three times, or, you know, you've seen that on film or you've seen it, you know, earlier like on the PAT, and then they line up there and then that time they don't come straight ahead, but they come to the side and you're coming with all your momentum to kind of meet their force and they stun on you, then, you know, that created a little bit of a gap there. So, you know, it was a good, you know, good design on the play and good execution by all those guys involved.